News just in. Bet365 is now live in Illinois.
That's right. Join Bet365 today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet $5, win or lose.
That's amazing.
That's for sure. With Bet365, you can bet on the spread, totals, and moneyline.
Well, there you have it, Illinois. Download the Bet365 app and get your $150 in bonus bets today.
And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Illinois. T's and C's apply.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome back into Bandwagon Nerds. Bandwagon Nerds here, a part of the Chairshot Radio Network, where we remind you to always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Thank you, Amber. We still, some of us still remember you very fondly. So, Patrick O'Dowd, as you may have heard last week, not here today. He's going to go full tribal chief on us for the next month or so here and going to be a part-timer because he's got stuff to do, like, you know, go on vacation. I mean, the nerve of these people. But I tell you, that's fine. Oh, the dogs have already voiced their displeasure with something happening early this morning. But we have a very stripped down bandwagon today. I mean, this is as thin as we're going to get. No, it's not just me, because that'd be really boring. But it is the dynamic duo, the two-man power trip of the Chairshot Radio Network. Myself, the one and only PC Tunney. Tunney, how are you doing here today?
I'm doing great, Dave. Coming off the heels of catching another Marvel movie in the theaters.
I know, it's like a regular thing. It's like the pandemic never happened. I mean, it's remarkable or something, but can't say that. As Tunney mentioned, we are going to lead the show off by talking about Thunderbolts. We got some MCU stuff to talk about. One good, one kind of sketchy story coming out about the MCU that you're like, Disney, you cheap bastards. We got some trailers to talk about, some interesting trailers. We're going to go to the trailer park. And we are recording this. Yeah, we got banjos coming up. Yeah. We are, of course, recording this on Sunday, May the 4th. It is Star Wars Day. It is all Star Wars, especially here today. We will talk a little bit of Star Wars and just some general stuff. And we've got not breaking, but news about Grand Theft Auto 6. And it's as disappointing as you might expect. Or is it? We're going to talk about that here today on the show. So we all saw Thunderbolts, and we're going to start this whole thing off by talking Thunderbolts. I will preface this and warn you guys right off the bat, as we always do with these conversations.
Oh. It's just play underneath us. Keep talking. Okay. It's really low. Okay. It's really low.
yes, there you go. I think I messaged you after the movie. It's getting louder now. Look at that. Listen to that. Listen to that piano. You're rocking. We built this city on something, kids. It's not rock and roll.
We built the city on the...
I mentioned I think I put it in the text yesterday after I got out of the theater. It's like, God, Starship must have cut a hell of a deal with Disney, because we built this city on Daredevil. And here at the end of this one, you know, nothing's going to stop us now. So I'm like, God, Starship out of nowhere. Who did they know? They must be friends with Kevin Feige. But anyway,
hey, Dave, yes. We can build these dreams together
on this city. And yeah, hopefully there's somebody named Sarah sniffing around somewhere so we can have the full hat trick of Starship songs. But I will warn everybody again that if you have not seen Thunderbolts yet, we are about to spoil the shit out of it for you. So if you have not seen it, you may want to turn this off for the next 20-ish minutes, and then you can come back on at the tail end of this. But
Yelena Belova dies.
Hey, you know what? You know who's in this movie, Tony? Florence Pugh is in this movie.
Get the fuck. Okay, so I had to message Patrick yesterday. So DP, Krista, and I went to the theaters. Aesop had to work, because it's usually our core four for the Marvel movies. And if Aesop didn't have to work, he probably would have come on the show today, but I figured he didn't see the Thunderbolts. So we sit down. We went and seen it in ScreenX, by the way. Really, really fallen in love with ScreenX. And the opening shot is Florence Pugh. And in my mind, I wanted to yell out in the theater, like, fuck everybody else. I just wanted to yell out, hey, Patrick, can you believe Florence Pugh is in this movie? So I had to message him, and he's like, yeah, I kind of felt the same exact way when the movie started. But yeah. we'll get that quip out of the way.
Yeah, it's an inside joke. But, you know, Florence Pugh is in this movie and she is the lead.
Oh, and is she amazing or what?
She's tremendous. She's tremendous. Let's get some overarching thoughts about the movie before we get into the stuff at the very end, which has the most significance. I love the movie. I thought it was it felt like an old school MCU movie. This felt like an Avengers sort of thing, which ironically enough, at the end, we will talk about. Everybody played a great role. We were, you know, everybody predicted Taskmaster to die early on. You were right. She's gone in the first minutes of the whole thing. But Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Valentina. She's got multiple last names.
Valentina Allegra de Fontaine. Yeah. And don't forget the D.
Don't forget the D.
Over here, this is not the Secretary of Fence. It's the Secretary of
Defense. That's right. When we start this thing, Val is being impeached for, I'm not sure what position she holds, where we're having impeachment hearings. But
she's like isn't she like governmentally in charge of like superhero protection, basically? Like Ox or whatever Ox is, that's basically taken. That's kind of like, that's part of it. But like, she's taken over that since the Avengers are gone. It feels like,
yeah,
she's responsible for it.
So yeah, Val's being impeached from whatever position she holds. And we're off and running on this interesting triangulation sort of mission that Val pulls, where she sends she sends Yelena Belova. She sends, U.S. agent John Walker, she sends Taskmaster, and she sends Ghost on a mission to basically off each other. and no one knows who exactly they've been assigned to kill. So we get this big throwdown in Oxworks somewhere in who knows where. And in the course of this, we meet Bob. I mean, what about Bob?
Oh, my God. Yes. The whole movie, I'm sitting there and I just want to yell, what about Bob? I want to tap Dan and go, what about Bob? But I don't want to bug Dan. He's right next to me. Right. So I'm like, oh, my God, what about Bob? And just what about Bob is like, it could be my favorite movie of all time. It's really close. It's top five favorite all time.
This Bob has got some stuff going on.
How did you like, I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Because we're talking about Bob and the Sentry, the Void, Robert Reynolds, Bob. Lewis Pullman is perfectly cast. He plays this so well. Like, I was so impressed by Lewis Pullman in this role. Yeah. I mean, like, unbelievably impressed.
He was great. He was perfectly the perfect person to play this role of this conflicted guy who realizes at some point, you know, that something's been done to him. And he is, everybody calls Sentry. It's either Sentry or Hyperion or both, the Marvel equivalent of Superman. And you get to kind of see when the Thunderbolts take him on later on, what would probably happen in a fight between most of Marvel versus Superman, because it'd probably go down a little bit like this.
Don't you think, though, the Sentry has powers beyond what Superman has?
Well, he's got the telepathic stuff and can phase. So he's got some stuff that Supes doesn't have. Now, does he have the sheer power of Superman? Probably not. But
he also has the telekinesis of moving things and shattering things and boiling things. Superman doesn't have. I mean, I guess Superman has the vision, but I don't know. I think Sentry, Dave, I don't think you want to hear what I'm about to say. Sentry may be more like a mentally stable, positive thinking Sentry.
Maybe
I might have Superman.
I don't know about from a sheer strength standpoint. That's where I would give Kal-El the edge, but. But he does, and Sentry's got one big thing that Superman doesn't, and that's the void. And that really is a game changer, where you can just basically will people into this pocket dimension called the void, and they are confronted with their worst possible moments.
I would love at some point, because you know Sentry has to be a big part of what we're doing here moving forward to Doomsday, possibly even Secret Wars, although I don't know, I could see Sentry being the sacrifice that defeats Doom. Shit, I forgot. It was a really good point, too. Son of a bitch.
Must not have been that great a point. No. But as we go along in this movie, we get Red Guardian, who's Yelena's father. He shows up, and David Harbour absolutely kills the role of Red Guardian. He's fantastic in this movie. He is the comic relief when he needs to. But then there's a moment where Yelena's at her absolute lowest, where he turns into her dad. And really kind of gets her back on track to the point that she's the one who rescues everybody from this horrible fate of being just shoved into the void. So you've got...
Oh, there it is. The void. You brought up the void. Think about the void. Does the void remind you of what we just went through with Agatha all along? Could those be connected? I'd love to see those be connected somewhere, because they all got stuck in rooms that they needed to conquer.
Maybe. It'd be great. I'd like to think that they tie this thing all together. When I first saw the previews, it reminded me of Thanos and being dusted, but that's not really what's going on at all with these people.
Because they all come back.
I guess it is the same, because people who got snapped out of existence all came back too, but it was a lot harder to do with them than it was with the void. But at the end of the day, though, you know, they go through all these adventures involving Bob. You know, Bob turns into Sentry. He gets gunned down. But then he rises from the ashes, flies away, gets turned by Val into the Sentry, dyes his hair blonde, assumes this, you know, this interesting looking outfit. You get the big throwdown between, and the Thunderbolt's name is interesting, because it actually comes from a youth soccer team that Yelena was on that was abysmal by all measure, you know, never won a game.
Completely defeated.
And yet, this is the name that these guys adopt. Bucky ends up jumping in at some point, and he's on the team as well. Go ahead.
So the introduction of Bucky and Red Guardian into the group in the movie is ridiculously awesome. First, Red Guardian comes to save
his daughter in a limo.
Well, not only her, but she's with John Walker, and she's with
Ghost, whoever Ghost is. I'll look it up, bud.
Oh, I know her name, too. Anyway, the fact that that giant red Russian rocket of a limousine comes rolling along and Yelena is trying to hide her face like a kid at school being picked up by their over boisterous. It's Ava something, isn't it?
Ava Star.
There you go. I knew it was Ava. That was epic. And then how Steve McQueen did Bucky look on the motorcycle tracking them down, and then the shock that he ends up shooting the limo too.
Yeah, Sebastian Stan is just tremendous, as he always has been, pulling his arm out of the dishwasher. You've got Val's got her assistant, who starts to have some real concerns about what Val's doing.
Mel
calls in Bucky, and we kind of go from there. And at the end of the day, you know what you really get are this group that adopts the name of the Thunderbolts, rescues Bob from himself, from his own inner worst demons, defeats the void, teaches Bob. And it really, I mean, one of the best moments of the movie to me, Tunney, was, and it touched me. I mean, it really, this movie's got a lot of humor in it. It really does.
Agreed.
The moment when they all hold Bob to bring him back, to make him realize you are not alone. Was one of the most powerful moments in the movie. And I almost teared up a little bit, because I'm like, we've all felt that way, that you're just alone in the world. And he, of course, is so alone that it manifests itself as the void. And they bring him back by showing him you're loved, you're not alone. And that's what defeats this thing. And you think that's great. And then you get to the end where they're going to bring in Val. She ducks into the wreckage of like a bus or something. And they come out on the other end of this. And there's a fucking press conference there.
It's the press conference. She'd been asking to call a press conference like the whole movie, yeah. Right? Like you think you would have known. And yeah, she just.
She played
but
them.
Yelena walks up to her, yeah, and says, we own you now.
We own you now. Yeah, that's right. And Val announces this group that we've come to know and love as the Thunderbolts. And you find out kind of what the asterisk means, because they are now being
the new
Avengers, the new. Yeah. And that really, I want to stop there and turn it to you to, you know, fill in any gaps that we might've missed, because it's just, it's an excellent movie and it's so much fun.
Let's move on. Okay. Let's talk about the movie as a whole before we get into what lead after that final scene leads into the almost 3 minute, the longest post-credit scene ever.
And there's two post-credit overall, scenes, but one really doesn't matter that
well,
much.
Well, that wasn't, it no, was that, but those weren't, yeah, that was, but those were like the cartoon credits before the actual credits.
That's right.
So that wasn't, so yeah, I mean, do you want to talk about that? Go ahead. Do you want to mention that?
No, I mean, it was just like, I mean, Red Guardian during the movie, says at some point he always imagined being on Wheaties boxes. And so when they get named the new Avengers, sure enough, he's on the Wheaties box and he's trying to sell it to some girl in the, and at first I thought she was Awkwafina. It's like, is she talking to the chick from Shang-Chi? But that's not who it is. And he's trying to sell her on this box of Wheaties and she takes it and then goes around the corner and just kind of leaves it on the end cap or something.
That one was me.
Yeah. So that was fun, but that's not where the action at. But
no.
Go ahead. Talk about the movie as a whole. I mean, like I said, and I'll turn it over to you. I love the movie. I thought it felt like a real MCU movie. I would say overall, before we even get to the post-credit scenes, when you're talking about everything that's happened since Endgame, this is in the top five for sure. I mean, I don't know if it's Guardians 3. I don't know if I'd say it's better than Wakanda Forever. I definitely think it was better than Multiverse of Madness. It's not even close when you're comparing it to like Love and Thunder or Quantumania. So I'd say, yeah, third best, fourth best movie of this post-Endgame sort of well, No Way Home. Yeah, you got to elevate that. So, maybe fifth.
The funny thing is they've set up these characters to succeed. They're like, they're all so good and well cast and well vetted as a character to move forward. Like, this group reminds me of like a street level Guardians, right? They're somewhere between Guardians and Avengers. And the Avengers with a Z is fucking insanely awesome.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
We'll get to that. Yeah. But I mean, 8.5 out of 10, I give this movie. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is my favorite superhero comic book movie all time ever. Okay. I loved it that much. So yeah, but this is right there. This is better than anything else I've seen since Endgame, I think, besides Guardians 3.
Yeah, I'll kind of look at the movies and see if anything really, I mean, Wakanda Forever is the only other one that really, well, No Way Home. I mean, it's the last Spider-Man movie that's...
I think I love that. I loved Wakanda Forever. I like this movie better than both of those.
I would probably give this the edge over Wakanda or at least call it a tie with Wakanda Forever. I would not say it's better than Guardians 3 or No Way Home, but it's splitting hairs at this point. It's a tremendous movie when the MCU absolutely needed it. And what else the MCU does in this is the new Avengers. So let's talk about it, because we've been saying for so long, we need to get going. We need a direction. We need to move this thing in a certain way. Who are the new, we got to get the Avengers back. Who are the new Avengers? Well, Val christens this group, the new Avengers. Now this raises, and Pat and I were texting about this earlier today. You know, I don't know if he's exactly thrilled with these guys being the air quoting new Avengers. They are certainly not the new Avengers that we saw in the comics after the disassembled storyline, because that was mostly old Avengers mixed in with some new stuff. These are the Thunderbolts. They could be considered the Dark Avengers if you had a Norman Osborn character. I don't think Valentina is a strong enough character, personality maybe, but character wise, characterization, she's not Norman Osborn. So I don't know if Thunderbolts, Dark Avengers kind of works here. But then we get to the post-credit stuff, and so we might as well talk about it. When we get to the post-credit scene, what we discover is that There is a rift that has developed. It's 14 months after the events of Thunderbolt. So we have a 14-month gap, presumably 14 months from the supermarket. Who knows? But you have a rift that has developed between Sam Wilson, Captain America, the new Cap, and Bucky. And it's a little, it's interesting because you think about, well, they just shared that really cool moment, really nice moment in Brave New World. This was definitely better than Brave New World. Let's get that out of the way. I think this is a much better movie than Brave New World was. And I like that movie a lot. But you discover there's a dispute that has erupted between Sam and Bucky over the use of the Avengers name. And this led to a lot of debate between, and Ray and I have been talking all morning about this and going back and forth on this. And the question that came up is, has Sam formed a new team? Or is he in the process of forming a new team? And I know Pat and I kind of were of the opinion he's already got a new team. Ray's of the opinion, no, he's just forming a new team. So we're going back and forth on this thing, trying to figure out, does he have any form a new team? Does he have it? In the end, I told Ray, I was like, I don't even think it matters. I mean, what's the difference? Whether he's got a team fully formed or he's in the process of it. The real dispute is that there is a dispute between Sam and Bucky over the name Avengers. There's a lawsuit that's been initiated. I don't know, you know, we and Ray and I were getting into wild speculation as to the terms of that lawsuit. And I said, this is the worst kind of speculation we can do, because who knows what the terms of this. Who knows who had the Avengers name? Did Tony will it? He wouldn't have willed it to Cap because they were on the outs when Tony died. So I don't know what's going on. What do you think about? Does Sam have a full team ready to go? Or is he in the works of putting a team together and he wants the Avengers name for some reason?
To start with, I'm with you on the fact that it doesn't matter, but I'm with Ray on the fact that I thought the wording and conversation was that he was putting together a new Avengers, not had fully ready to go a new Avengers. And either way, Ray's probably right, considering we haven't introduced that team. So like the final part of putting the team together is introducing them. So if I'm going to argue legalese, that's kind of the way I would go with it. But I agree. I don't think it fucking matters. I think the most important thing is that there's a divide there. So there's more layers to the onion. And especially when you put in the history between Sam Wilson and Bucky, right? You talked about that. So I absolutely loved that. Can we talk about Red Guardian wanting to ride into battle on the back of Sentry?
You're just going to fly Bob into space? Yes. You know, that sort of thing.
And the fact that Bob was like, you know, I can't turn into the Sentry because the void is there, but I did do the dishes, was epic.
Bob turns into, you've seen Half Baked, right?
Yeah.
So Bob turns into the guy on the couch, basically, is what he's turned into. Because he's just sitting there drinking a milkshake, saying, I can't be Sentry because of the void. You don't get one without the other sort of situation. Obviously, that's going to have to change when Secret Wars or Doomsday starts, but for now, that's fine.
Do you remember who the guy on the couch was?
I don't remember the actor's name. I remember what he looks like.
Comedian, I thought.
He is a comedian.
Stephen Wright.
Stephen Wright, that's the exact. Yeah. Waving people off. Yeah. The guy on the couch.
He's like,
the guy.
Like, I've murdered thousands of children in my life.
Yo, they killed Killer Bee.
I masturbate every day.
Such an underrated movie. But yeah, I think ultimately I don't know. I'd have to watch it again to get the wording right. Ray may be correct about that something's happened in 14 months.
Let's put it this way. I think the most important thing is the fact that Bucky and Sam did not agree on the fact that they didn't want to work together. Yeah. That's the big thing.
And I think underlaying that, there is a philosophical difference between Sam and Bucky at this point. And that's clear. And Sam got to the point where he's like, these fucking people you guys are with are cast off. They're rejects. Now, I'm not going to say it's Marvel Suicide Squad, but it's kind of the same ilk, you know, that sort of thing. And Sam kind of going, no, this is not, you can't put these guys together and call them Avengers. They're not the Avengers. And like I said, you know, you think about all those director's chairs that were laid out for the rollout for Avengers Doomsday. Most of the people are missing. You know, we don't see Chris Hemsworth. So, you know, Thor's around. You know, some of the other heavy hitters and big characters who may or may not come in as part of Sam's team of Avengers, who you would probably equate, well, Spider-Man. You know, you got to think he's going to be part of Sam's Avengers. Captain Marvel, you know, that sort of thing. Who knows? But like you said, I think the main thing, whether Ray's right, whether me and Pat heard it right, or I don't know if it really makes a difference, because like you said, the main thing is there is a rift that has erupted between our heroes. And I told Pat today, it's like, I don't want Civil War II. We don't need Civil War II. We don't have time for a second Civil War. But it all kind of comes into focus. And then you also find out, because Yelena's telling him about some threat in outer space that is amorphous. We don't know what she's talking about, what threat is going on in outer space that is a big issue. And then at the end of the whole thing, a ship shows up and they make it clear that it's an extra dimensional ship. So this ship is coming from a different dimension. And when it appears, you see the Fantastic Four symbol, which really means that, okay, the Fantastic Four are now coming into our universe, Earth 616. Some people think this is the beginning of Fantastic Four. I don't think so. I firmly think that whatever happens in Fantastic Four happens in their dimension. And for some reason, they are coming to ours. Now, whether their planet has been destroyed and they're escaping, whether they're coming here, whether Reed and family are coming here to warn us, whether Franklin Richards, when he's born, we're assuming that that's who Sue Storm has in her belly as far as her pregnancy, that it's Franklin. And when he's born, people realize just what an Omega level threat he is. And so they flee to a different dimension. I don't know. But what we do know is that when this movie ends, and, you know, I'm sure we're going to find out what happens in that 14-month interval. When Thunderbolts comes to an end, the Fantastic Four are officially in our universe. Now, I'm sure we're going to find out more in July when we see the Fantastic Four movie. But it is a 2-minute and 54-second, I think, post-credit scene. And it's worth every minute of it because it really sets the stage. You know, we're complaining about setting the stage. I know in Brave New World, we're like, where are we going? Let's move in a certain direction. What's happening? Okay, that helps a little bit, but we need to go. They've finally gone there, and now it's all starting to kind of, little bits and pieces are starting to filter in. So I turn to you, Tony, your thoughts on the post-credit stuff and these things with some unknown threat in space and the Fantastic Four shows up.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, you know, you got Silver Surfer and Galactus and Doom, and how does it all play in together? Right? Because you got to connect the dots somewhere.
You don't get any more heavy hitters. I mean, you're talking about Doom and Galactus. That's Thanos ain't got nothing. I mean, even with the gauntlet, it's like we just did Villain Madness. But dude, that's a hell of a double-headed monster to try and face Dr. Doom and Galactus. Have fun with that.
Well, they haven't. The problem is they haven't been on screen or TV in this century for us to put them in that tournament. I'm interested to see how it's all connected, right? Because like you said, this is a different, this is multiversal, right? This isn't what's happening there. I think it's the end of that movie, to be honest with you. I agree with you. I think that Galactus and Silver Surfer did a number. It's only an hour and a half movie, guys. It's like 136 or 37.
What, Fantastic Four?
You just watched Thunderbolts, which was 205, 204. So like this is a half hour less. This is going to be quick. This is going to happen fast. But yeah, I mean, that was a great trailer, that I saw before, Thunderbolts.
Oh, a Fantastic Four trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can tell from just the way that world looks that this is not ours. This is not Earth 616. That is their world.
It's like Flintstones nostalgia meets Jetsons technology is their world.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm glad you know, like you said, and I agree with you. I think this, what we see at the end of Thunderbolts is the end of the Fantastic Four movie where something has happened. Either Galactus has eaten the world, devoured everything, or Doom has showed up and created some incursion that has destroyed the world. And Reed realizes, holy shit, he's got the ability to destroy, which is taken straight from the Infinite series in the comics. Doom's got the ability to destroy worlds. I need to warn, where are we going next? Let's go here. And he ends up in our universe. Or we really are the prime universe. I don't know. But something has certainly happened that is causing Reed Richards and the rest of the Fantastic Four to come into our universe, either to survive or to warn. I don't know. But we're going to find out soon enough. I'm speculating it's to warn. Or, well, no, I'm speculating it's to survive and to warn. So it could be both.
I think it's both. I think Sentry plays a big part in whatever we got coming forward. Too much power not to. Did you feel the same way? Like, I felt the dynamic between Yelena and Sentry. It kind of felt to me like Black Widow and Hulk.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that, there's something there.
Like, I'm the calming, soothing effect to make you in control, right? You know, this is the same kind of dichotomy.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know if there's going to be a romantic angle involved. Yelena could use somebody in her life. Maybe not somebody as you know, with something like the Void lurking inside of them, but it wouldn't be.
But I mean, think about it. Domestically, Bob does the dishes, Dave.
He does. He does do the dishes, and they are both very alone. And so that, you know, you get two people who feel that way about themselves can sometimes attract somebody of a similar sort of psychological makeup to them. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, it was an excellent movie. I love Thunderbolts. This was exactly what I think the MCU needed at this point in time. They moved so many things forward in a good direction. And yeah, there's questions to be answered and there's things we don't know. And you know, how many teams are involved? Who's on Sam's team? What's the nature of this lawsuit? Who's fighting over the Avengers name? I did like that Val took over the Avengers Tower. So that was a nice little touch. And, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, I thought the acting was great. I thought the effects were great. This was this felt like an MCU movie. I mean, it really felt like an MCU movie, whereas some of the other ones feel a little like they come up short in a few places. This one did not have any of that. So Thunderbolts I'd give it an 8.5 out of 10 as well. I'm right with you on this, honey. You know, maybe 8.75 if I really thought about it. Before we take our first commercial break, we're going to stick with some MCU news because Jeremy Renner did an interview and they were talking about why Hawkeye season 2 didn't happen. And Jeremy Renner's allegation here is that Disney wanted him to do Hawkeye season 2 for half the money he got for season 1. And Jeremy Renner's like, wait, it's going to be twice as hard for me to do this because of the injuries he sustained in that horrible snowplow accident. And you want me to do twice the work for half the money? No. I'm not going to do that. And you know, honestly, I read this article. I said, I don't blame him for that. That's ridiculous. You know, why would cut him and pay his pay in half after everything he's been through to do a Hawkeye season 2? Seems pretty chintzy on Disney's part as far as I'm concerned, Tony.
No, I agree with that, especially considering the circumstances, right? Like the guy almost died and things of that nature. At the same time, I feel like Hawkeye is probably one of the least viewed Disney Plus streaming Marvel series ever.
Don't let Ray.
Sorry, Ray.
Yeah. Ray is somewhere releasing both hands off of his bow.
Yeah. And that's a problem. but I feel like that's the case. I feel like someone there fought and fought and fought for a season 2. And whoever was in charge said, fine, but we don't have the money for it. If you can get Renner to do it for this amount, then we can go forward with it. And yeah, I just like when you think of all the Disney Plus Marvel streaming series, I don't think this one comes like last to mind, honestly.
I wouldn't say that because it reintroduced Kingpin.
It's not in the top half.
Well, I liked Hawkeye a lot and it did reintroduce Kingpin and you got the resolution of Yelena and Clint Barton and you got Kate Bishop. So I wouldn't put it as certainly immensely better than Secret Invasion, for God's sake. Let's not even talk about that. So
any other series you'd put it ahead of though?
Hawkeye? I put it ahead of Moon Knight. Yep. I would put it ahead of She-Hulk. I think I'd put it.
All right. We got to move on. For love, Dave. For love. For crying out loud. For love.
I mean, Madison is the best part of She-Hulk. So it's got, you know, anyway, let's move on. Last thing I want to mention.
Wongers. Get them rings out.
Yeah. What kind of rings are we talking about again, Madison? Let's get
rings. Beads, whatever.
Yeah. Last thing I want to mention, it was 17 years ago that Iron Man came out. 17 years of the MCU. Boy, did that one movie change everything as we know it. I mean, when you look back on, and whatever your complaints are about the recent spate of MCU movies, Thunderbolts not included in that. There have been a few clunkers here and there. But still, you were talking about the launch of quite possibly, with the exception of maybe Star Wars or Lord of the Rings, or Harry Potter, the most lucrative, most successful franchise in the history of cinema, the MCU. And it may have all those beat, to be honest with you. I haven't run the numbers, but
Encompassing. Yeah. Add every movie up for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. What else has done? Yeah. I mean, Star Wars, if you take everything into consideration.
Oh, but Star Wars is 9, maybe 11. This is like 20 some films, yeah. Isn't it? 30?
It is. But I think, you know, when you look at the gross numbers for like Force Awakens, Last Jedi, Rise, there's pretty big numbers that you're dealing with, although Endgame beat out all of it. But that notwithstanding, it is inarguably one of the biggest franchises in the history of modern cinema. And it all started with a movie that was excellent. There's no doubt about it. That first Iron Man was tremendous. And it really set the stage for where they could go from there. But, you know, 17 years later, what are your thoughts on that first movie and kind of just where the MCU has evolved to?
Let's end that first conversation real quick by going since 2008. And yeah, 2008 seems like a lot longer time ago than 17 years. But since then, no franchise has made more money. Right. And that's where we're at. It's insane. And there's so many different kinds of movies, right? There's like straight action. There is so much storytelling. You have some with a lot more humor than others. And then just the character development. It's on a level with every other epic franchise that you've ever seen cinematically.
It absolutely is. And I mean, you know, the end of the first part of the MCU, as we like to call it, with the Infinity War Endgame double feature, if you want to call it that, you know, one movie split into two. Yeah, I mean, they are, for people like us, and even if you're not somebody like us, a nerd like us, if you just love great movies with all sorts of drama, emotion, action, anything you can describe, you can throw into the Infinity War Endgame conclusion of that, those first three phases of the MCU. Endgame to me is still probably, I would still say, the greatest superhero movie of all time. And that it's replaced Dark Knight for me. And I said that, I think, a while ago, but the more I watch Endgame, the more I love it. And there's so much about that movie that you just pick up on, and little emotions, little details, unbelievably well done. And the fact that they managed to have all these moving parts and not fall apart with it, like so many other movies have failed in the past. You know, we've seen movies try and introduce multiple story arcs, multiple character arcs, to terrible results. I'm looking at you, Batman versus Superman. I'm looking at you, Spider-Man 3, the original, that sort of thing. So we've seen things go off the rails, and the fact that those movies did it as well as they did and just killed it as well as they did is a testament to just great storytelling, great characters. And like we've said so many times over the course of almost 300 episodes of Bandwagon Nerds, they got the casting absolutely perfect. Nobody left. Everybody stayed on for the long term. That's why I think the only thing that could really match up to it is Harry Potter, where those three kids stuck together that whole time, made that series what it was. And I think the MCU is the same thing.
No, it's hard to argue that. You know, we've been spoiled to live in a time where we get to witness this all, you know, happening as it comes out for us. So just blessed, you know.
We're blessed. You hear that, kids? Tony and I have been blessed. Thank you. We need a new pope.
Hallelujah.
We need a new pope. But until then, somebody's blessing us. I don't know who, but
welcome to the conclave, folks.
On that note, we are going to take our first commercial break. Tony's going to tell you all about where to get your hands on some of that sweet, sweet Chair Shot merch. Your giblets might be happy, right, Tony?
Uh-oh. Head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up a Chair Shot t-shirt. Plenty of great designs make you the hit of whatever event you are gathering at. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Kenny, tell us about thechairshot.com.
News just in. Bet365 is now live in Illinois.
That's right. Join Bet365 today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet $5, win or lose.
That's amazing.
That's for sure. With Bet365, you can bet on the spread, totals, and money line.
Well, there you have it, Illinois. Download the Bet365 app and get your $150 in bonus bets today.
And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Illinois. T's and C's apply.
News just in. Bet365 is now live in Illinois.
That's right. Join Bet365 today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet $5, win or lose.
That's amazing.
That's for sure. With Bet365, you can bet on the spread, totals, and money line.
Well, there you have it, Illinois. Download the Bet365 app and get your $150 in bonus bets today.
And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Illinois. T's and C's apply.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Okay, guys, welcome back into Bandwagon Nerds. Great discussion about Thunderbolts and kind of the MCU in general there on the first half of things. But now it is time for PC Tunney to decide for himself what banjo do you want to play, Tunney? Because we are heading into the trailer park. I leave it entirely up to your discretion. Man, it's like the Danny Warhol's got banjos or something, man. It's fantastic. So we're going to the trailer park. We've got five trailers that we're going to look at today of all sorts of varying interesting sorts of things. The first one is, and I don't remember, Tony, are you a John Wick fan?
I'm not.
Okay. So this first trailer meant next to nothing for you then?
No, you know, honestly, I had no idea what I was about to watch. I thought it was just another, Keanu signed on to their John Wick movie. But once I watched the trailer and realized it was kind of behind the scenes, the making of the story of Keanu Reeves. And what's the director's name again? I forget.
I'll have to look it up.
It's basically their relationship and making this movie. And to be honest with you, I'd be more inclined to watch this than any of the John Wick movies. I love the fact that they are diving into the fact that you don't kill dogs in Hollywood, and that's basically what they built this on. And I think it's pretty cool, especially it is one of the greatest action, you know, conglomerates, motion picture style ever. So I you're going to get a lot of people watching this. That's all I can say.
Chad Stahelski is the name of the director for the John Wick series. The trailer that Tony's talking about is for something called Wick is Pain. This is coming, releasing on digital. I don't know exactly what that means as far as like where it's streaming, but it's coming up in just a few days. It debuts on May 9th. I'm not sure where again yet, but like Tony said, the trailer is really a behind the scenes look at John Wick, what went into John Wick, how the movie almost never happened, how they had to come up with like $6 million overnight, how they didn't want to let down Keanu Reeves, who, you know, invested so much of his own time and personality into the movie. You know, talking about how, because Keanu does a lot of his own stunts, they're like, you know, in the movies, if John Wick is in pain, it's probably real. Like Tunney said, you know, they really send the movie, the original John Wick gets catapulted into different stratospheres because they kill the dog. And yeah, you just don't kill dog. Now, they don't show much of anything, but the death of John Wick's dog turns him into Baba Yaga, or the boogeyman, or whatever you want to call it, and leads us on this incredible journey through, I think, five movies now. I'm not sure. I think the fourth one. And a couple of spinoffs, including The Continental and Ballerina's coming up. It's a John Wick spinoff as well. If you are a fan of John Wick, and I am a huge fan of John Wick, this is probably essential viewing. And I just don't know where I got to try and figure it out where it's going to premiere. I'm not sure where it's premiering, but it just said digital. I'm not sure what that means. Got any ideas, Tony, where they're releasing this thing?
That's a good question. Maybe you can just buy it digitally from whatever website they're pimping. Like I'm not sure.
At home or something like that. Or I'm sure if they're selling it, you can buy it on Prime or any of the other places that typically sell movies. But John Wick. Wick is Pain looks really good, coming out in just a few days, May 9th. If you are a fan of John Wick, you'll want to check this out. It looks like a really, really great behind-the-scenes story of, this is going to be our first wrestling reference, Tony. We are 45 minutes in. it felt a lot like WrestleMania 1, like when Vince banked everything to make this thing work because he believed in it so much. These guys are kind of talking about the same thing, raising $6 million, like literally overnight to keep it going. So, yeah, if you're...
It's a Lionsgate film, so, or, you know, joint. Huh. So we'll see. I don't know where they generally distribute, but
me neither, but I'm sure it'll be out there somewhere. So good stuff. If you're a John Wick fan, you'll want to check that out. Now, most of us here on the Bandwagon Nerds, myself, Patrick, Tunney, Ray, everybody else who shows up, we're all big fans of Netflix. Netflix has a dizzying amount of content and it just gets more all the time. So we got it kind of a sizzle reel for To Dumb, which is Netflix's kind of sort of reveal event that they do. This is coming up on Netflix on May 31st. And we got some previews of a few things here that are, you know, they're all fan favorites. We got to see Stranger Things season. What's up, Tony?
I got the list. You ready?
Go for it, please.
I you know, towards the end of that preview, yeah. Where they put all that down, yes. Screenshotted that. Awesome. So here we go. Emily in Paris, Frankenstein, Happy Gilmore 2, Love is Blind, One Piece, Outer Banks, The R.I.P., Squid Game, Season 3, Stranger Things, Season 5, The Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders, The Life List, Wake Up Dead Man, A Knives Out Mystery, Wednesday, WWE, and more.
That is what you call a very strong lineup, kids. That is awesome. Mic drop. Thank you, Tunney. Things that obviously jump out to me that I'm interested in, Stranger Things Season 5, of course. We've been waiting for that. I'm looking forward to that. I know my wife and several of her friends are looking forward to Wednesday Season 2. We just got the trailer for Wednesday Season 2 like a couple weeks ago. So you've got that going on. Squid Game Season 3, lots of Squid Game fans out there. We're already at Season 3 on that. That's remarkable. Conspicuous by its absence, not mentioned in this trailer, Tunney, The Witcher Season 4 or 5. Is it 4? It's 4. The Witcher Season 4. No mention of that. No mention of Sandman Season 2, which I think comes out like July 23rd or something like that. That's another Netflix show. But yeah, Frankenstein is the one that should be interesting. Like, okay, we're running a series. Is this Mary Shelley's Frankenstein or what kind of Frankenstein are we dealing with here? But, you know, you've got Monday Night Raw. You've got WWE Unreal will be coming. I think that's coming to, is it Netflix or Peacock? Probably Netflix, I think. The behind the scenes series.
Yeah.
So all sorts of really good stuff coming out to Netflix. You know, they've got, Netflix just keeps pumping out content. I started watching Three Body Problem. That's pretty good. We're going to get a second season of that. So yeah, I mean, no shortage of great stuff coming to Netflix this year. They're not slowing down at all.
I'm more interested, and I have been for a while, and I brought this up once they started doing it with David Chang Live, Dinner Time Live with David Chang, I should say. And I'm waiting to hear something. Hopefully that comes back, but their live content. They want to be live. They want to probably have 24/7 live content, to be honest with you, because they're global and they can't. So you can just go to Netflix and you can do this on Amazon right now. Amazon has like 5-6 different dedicated channels to different things that they own, and you can just go in and turn it on like TV. And I think Netflix is kind of searching for that. So I'm interested in what new live content they're going to have.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we saw them do the NFL, obviously Raw's live every week. You know that they are, when Peacock's contract with WWE ends, you know, Netflix is going to be first in line saying, hey, give us the PLEs.
Well, and SmackDown. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, Netflix just becomes a global juggernaut. I still laugh. You know, a couple of years ago where we were questioning whether Netflix could compete, whether they would stay relevant. Boy, did we get proven wrong on that, man. They have killed it ever since we speculated on that.
And speaking of killing it, the comedy scene, like Kill Tony has started doing specials and has a relationship with Netflix, you know, outside of YouTube. So whew, watch out.
Yeah. And they don't, you know, and the great thing about Netflix is, yeah, you pay for it. And you pay for what you get. They don't inundate you with ads every 10 fucking seconds like Prime does. You know, Netflix and Disney are the ones that don't do that to you. And there's a level of appreciation for that. So, yeah, it'll be really cool to see what sort of, I'm hopeful that we get the Stranger Things Season 5 trailer at To Dumb. Just please, guys, maybe.
I would imagine at least the teaser trailer. Like, so at least 10, 15 seconds.
Yeah, and we got Happy Gilmore 2. You mentioned that. That's coming out real soon. That looks like it's going to be so much fun.
We should have a watch party for that, because you can go on there and like add accounts in and watch it all together. We could have like our computers open in a chat and watching it. I think that'd be really cool.
Watch along. Happy Gilmore watch along. Let's do it.
I'm in.
I know the next movie you're not in on, because we got the trailer for a movie called Weapons coming to theaters on August 8th of this year. Tony's already put his microphone up because he
just, I was going to have a drink. That's all. I can't really stay out of any conversation today, Dave.
That's true. That's true. Otherwise, I'm talking to myself. So this movie is definitely not in Tunney's wheelhouse, because it is certainly horror related. And the premise of the movie is, and Ray, I think, shared this trailer with us. So thank you, Ray. The premise of the movie is more or less like an entire classroom of a teacher students just get up at 2:15 in the morning, walk out the front door.
2:17. I watched the trailer. Okay. I watched the trailer. All
right. 2:17 in the morning, walk out the front door and vanish from existence. And obviously distraught, heartbroken, devastated parents are looking for answers from this teacher, because they are all, it's only the kids from this one classroom. And then things get progressively darker in this trailer. The kids come back in various states of, I don't know what. But they're not really back. They're like the darker versions of them. There's a scene where the teacher walks back into her classroom. All the children are there with their heads down. Then one lifts his head up and he looks like a fucked up clown or something.
They've entered the void, Dave.
This was the void. Yeah, very much so. This looks creepy. This looks kind of scary. I watched this. I'm like, yeah, I'll give this a pass. This looks just weird enough and kind of, scary enough that it would get my attention. I know you're not going to watch it, Tony, but what did you think of the trailer?
Here's what I thought. Congratulations for someone coming up with an idea that I haven't seen before, because it's supremely rare nowadays. So good for you, whoever made this movie. Just because horror in this fashion isn't really for me, I do appreciate the suspense and the thriller nature of it as well. So it's a really interesting idea. So I hope it's well executed. And if one of you guys, you know, Patrick or Ray, check it out, let me know if it was executed well.
Yeah, like you're saying, it looks like it's going to be done very well. It's got a decent enough cast. Production values look sharp. It looks like a creepy good time to be had in the theaters this August. We already mentioned wrestling once on this show, but now we're going to mention it again in much more detail, because we got the first trailer, which was shared by Patrick, and then I shared it as well because I didn't scroll up far enough. Sorry, Pat. Sue me. It's a movie called The Smashing Machine, starring the one and only man who was absent from WrestleMania 41, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And Dwayne looks a little different in this movie than you would expect, not just because he has hair. But it's a story that seems to be centered on a UFC fighter. This isn't based on a true story, is it? Or is it dramatized? Is it based on a true story?
Mark Kerr.
Mark Kerr. Okay. And when we come into this movie, Mark Kerr is dealing with some physical issues that are affecting his ability to compete. And it's kind of, I don't know what you thought, Tony, because I'm going to turn it over to you real quick, like a behind the scenes look at UFC before it became real mainstream, when it was still blood sportish. Sort of thing. What did you take away from this trailer?
So I got this trailer before Thunderbolts, which is great. It's A24, and it's The Rock in his...
That's a big get for A24, man.
Rock's going to get an Oscar nomination for this. People are going to watch this movie. The dichotomy between the person that Mark Kerr was outside of the octagon and the physical violence that he trained for and executed inside of it, and the toll it took on him and the relationships with the people that were important in his life, is going to resonate with a gigantic percentage of the viewers of this movie, including us. This is going to be, I think, The Rock and this movie will get nominated.
It does look like it's got that potential, I wouldn't say like The Wrestler. It's going to be a lot like that.
The Rock's transformation into Mark Kerr isn't as epic and beautiful and questioning as Colin Farrell into the Penguin, but it's really fucking close. Like all the body tats are gone.
Yeah.
The hair looks real. The nose is different. and all of it looks good. So this is, and even I could hear someone in the theater going, "Oh, I didn't know that was The Rock."
And yet, like you're saying,
this is gonna get nominations, Dave. I'm telling you right now.
The dichotomy between Mark in the ring, you know, savage warrior, just wanting to beat you within an inch of your life, and then outside the ring, like that first scene where he's in the hospital.
The emergency room.
And yeah, there's a kid looking at his eyes and he's telling the his mom or grandma what he does. And like, she asks him like, "Do you guys really hate each other?" He's like, "Oh no, not at all." And there's a level of truth to that, obviously, because it's like, they're not out there because they hate each other. It's their job. And
right. Well, and the delicacy in which he handles the child signing the autograph. Don't fight. Right.
You know, I like the stuff where he's looking for better pain medicine and they're passing out Advil like candy. You know, that's not going to really do the job.
It's like, "Oh, Advil. Okay."
Yeah. Like you're saying, he's got his problems with his relationships and what this stuff in the ring does to him. So it looks very much, I mean, you look at movies that are done like this, and the two that jump to mind real quick are like Million Dollar Baby and The Wrestler. Right? Stuff like that, where you look at things and say, this has that feel to it. And good God, those movies resonated with a lot of people, especially for people like us, The Wrestler, with Mickey Rourke, and how that really attracted so many of us. And like you're saying, it strikes a nerve with a lot of people like us. This very well could be. This could be the big one for A24. I mean, they've had it. Well, I take that back. They had Everywhere, Everything, All at Once, that won Academy Award. So there, I take that back. I retract that. Still getting them. What's up, Tony? I think, like I said, I still think, despite A24's success, anytime you get somebody like The Rock as part of your roster, and you can trot that out there, that's a big get for them, don't you think?
Oh yeah. And we talked about that when we first heard he signed on to do a movie with A24. So we'll see, you know, like, rising tide raises all ships. I mean, hopefully they can be beneficial to each other.
Ooh, the cream of the crop. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
So that, keeping your eyes out on that, October 3rd, coming to theaters, The Smashing Machine, starring our friend Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Last trailer we're going to talk about doesn't have a release date. It's just one of these amorphous sort of coming soon. Now You See Me, Now You Don't. Ray shared this trailer as well. This one has a really pretty good cast. And the premise of this is a group of magicians. Don't they say something like the Horsemen? Isn't that, you know, Morgan Freeman's group of magicians called the Horsemen? There's a group of magicians that maybe they're more than just illusionists and that sort of thing. Maybe they've got some level of real magic to them. Come up with this brilliant idea to steal, was it the Hope Diamond or the Heart Diamond? The Hope Diamond's real. That's in Washington, D.C. I don't know about if there's the Heart Diamond or whatever it is, but it's Rosamund Pike is in this. She's from Wheel of Time series. She looks like she's the baddie in this whole thing. And there's this conflict between the magicians led by, who is it? Is it Jesse Eisenberg, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So Jesse Eisenberg's the lead magician. They're out here trying to steal this diamond from Rosamund Pike's character. And it leads to this huge showdown. Morgan Freeman is in this. He's the man, of course. Anytime you get Morgan Freeman involved in anything, it automatically elevates the status of the movie. So I'm like, yeah, let's go. This looks like it'll be a fun one. Not quite sure all the elements that are going on in this thing, but it does look like a real good versus evil with some Ocean's 11 sort of shit going on in there. We're got to steal this heist sort of thing. What do you think of this one, Tony?
Well, it looks like a group of young magicians have to reluctantly team up with a group of older magicians, and Jesse Eisenberg is kind of caught in between. He wants to bring in the new blood. He's kind of done with the old blood, but then they have this problem of this gang, right? It's like this, they're supposed to take down some collective mob group, right? And use magic to combat guns and, you know, sophisticated crime. So I'm good with anything Woody Harrelson and Morgan Freeman. So I'm sure there's some really good stuff in there, but for me, it's streaming, but I bet you this would be really cool to see in like 3D.
Yeah. Like you're saying, the cast is phenomenal in this movie, like you're saying, Morgan Freeman, you got Woody Harrelson, you know, Woody's trying to do a magic trick to open. Cause like Jesse at one point says, "Open sesame" to like the box that this diamond is in, and it magically opens. And so Woody Harrelson thinks he can do the same thing with like this bookcase, but nothing happens. And like, you really think that was going to work? And they're like, well, you know, it's worth a try. That sort of shit.
You knew.
Yeah. Yeah. You knew what was going to happen. So yeah, it looks like it's going to be a good movie. We'll see where it ends up. It looks fun. And, you know, at this point in time, getting movies that are fun, it's really all you can ask for, right, Tony?
It's interesting. I'm waiting for another movie that's not Marvel or DC to drag me into the theater. Beetlejuice did it. This isn't going to do it. But what's going to be the next non-Marvel DC movie to get me into the movie theater?
Yeah, I don't.
Gilmore would if it was in theaters, but it's on Netflix. So
yeah, I think. And I mean, we don't have anything. Maybe the Star Wars.
Maybe that Brad Pitt F1 racing movie.
Yeah, that looks like it'll be a good one. That could do it. I'm trying to think what's coming out that's really going to, you know, charge everybody into the theaters. I can't think of anything.
I mean, besides like an animated picture, like what's the last non-comic book movie that got you into the theater? I can't even remember. Well, besides Beetlejuice.
The last non-comic book movie to get
What? I watched with Denzel's kid, The Creator. I went and saw that.
Yeah. Probably Dune 2. Dune 2.
Dune, me, yeah. Yeah. I was going to say Dune. Yeah.
Yeah. That okay. Got me in. But I'm like you. You know, you're looking for that next great movie that everybody talks about that's going to get you in. And Dune is, of course, the one that you look at and say, yeah, that's, you know, that's the one. I mean, Gladiator 2 didn't get me in there, and it possibly should have. Certainly the next Star Wars movie, whenever, you know, Grogu and the Mandalorian or Mandalorian and Grogu,
we'll all go see that.
Yeah. But that's kind of part of our wheelhouse. That's
3D.
In 3D, of course, naturally. Yeah. I don't know. I saw like the trailer for the new Jurassic Park movie looks almost moderately interesting, but
it's a good premise. It's the best premise they've had in a while, but I'm kind of over Jurassic Park. If my nephews were, you know, 5 years older and not in diapers, one of them, then maybe I'd take them to see that. But yeah, that's about it.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. All right, that, guys, is our visit to the trailer park. We are going to take our second and final commercial break. When we come back, a little bit of video game news. We'll talk some Star Wars because it is May the 4th, and some what you watching, and then we'll get you out of here. But I would remind you again, you are listening to Bandwagon Nerds, which is a part of the Chairshot Radio Network right here on the Chairshot.com.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Okay, guys, welcome back into Bandwagon Nerds. We're in the home stretch of this episode this week. The dynamic duo, the two-man power trip of Bandwagon of the Chairshot Radio Network. The shoe. Yeah.
You ain't seen nothing like this in Stone Cold and Triple H, bitches.
That's right. We're going to talk a little news around the nerdosphere. Just like one story that I want to touch on, because at this point it's almost a meme unto itself. But surprising absolutely nobody, Grand Theft Auto 6 has been delayed yet again till 2026. Nobody's surprised by this. CM Punk coming back to wrestling and main eventing at WrestleMania was a meme to the whole GTA 6 delay again. But interestingly enough, even though there's no real surprise that this happened, and you know, you could probably see it a mile away, at least one article I found is trying to convince me that this is a good thing, Tony. Screen Rant came up with an article that says GTA 6's delay is the best thing that could have happened in 2025. I don't know if you're a Grand Theft Auto fan or not, but what do you think about this game? It's been delayed so many times already, getting pushed back for at least another year.
It's been a while. I think GTA 3 is the last one I played. It's a great game. Like, the depth and the magnitude of things you can do is... it's like epic. If it means that this game's going to come out better than the Switch 2, then great. That could be the good news, right? Because sometimes you just need a little extra time. But as far as everything else, like, I'm not a fan. I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to play it. But I hope that this delay increases the value, the epicness of the gameplay for people that want to play it.
Yeah, I mean, reading this Screen Rant article, I'm just going to call bullshit on a lot of this stuff that's in here because, okay, they are right. It makes sure it lives up to fan expectations. I get that. That's a fair point. You're trying to make the best game possible. But good God, you guys have been working on this thing forever. If you don't have it to the fans' expectations yet, it might not happen. So the fact that you're delaying it again to get it just right, just perfect, sure, I applaud that. That's awesome. Great. I don't know if that's a really good reason at this point to delay it even further. Maybe.
Yeah, but if you're going to put it out there just to get it out on time and then, you know, have to deal with like so much pushback afterwards and dissension and criticism only to just put out the next version, like 1.02, 3 months later, why not just wait 3 months and avoid all of that?
Well, that's true. I mean, I get that. The other thing that points are making is that, you know, this will give the other games coming out this year a chance to really shine without having to be over, you know, just basically wiped out and subsumed and overtaken by Grand Theft Auto 6. The article lists a few games that are coming out that are Xbox exclusives that are going to be really good. Crimson Desert, Fable, they're remaking Fable.
Oh, really?
That's wow. Apparently that's what they're saying. Gears of War E-Day, so there's going to be a new Gears of War game. Yeah, I get that, but here's the thing, and it ties into their last point that GTA 6 will no longer steal the 2025 Game of the Year award. Look, if you're going to have the Game of the Year, then you should have the best Game of the Year, regardless of the competition, right? I mean, whether you've got Grand Theft Auto, I mean, by saying that, you're assuming that this game will be the best Game of the Year no matter what. And I think that's presumptuous at best to say that Grand Theft Auto 6, based on its pedigree alone, is going to be the best game that comes out this year. So by saying, well, now other titles in 2025 will have a chance to win, sure. But then what happens to all the titles in 2026 when this eventually comes out? Doesn't solve the problem for those games.
I think the point that they're making is that the engine is so good, as long as you enhance the storyline, it's still unbeatable. Like, would you agree with that synopsis?
I agree that the Grand Theft Auto pedigree is going to make it highly likely that it is the best game that comes out when it does drop. It's been in development so long. And you just look at, like I mentioned, you mentioned Grand Theft Auto 3. I mean, since they had the early days of Grand Theft Auto where it was a 2D overhead view sort of thing, they have not released a bad game yet. In fact, like back when Metacritic or GameSpot used to like to do scores and stuff like that, the Grand Theft Auto games were the only ones that, I mean, that and Ocarina of Time were the only ones I ever saw that got a perfect score. GTA 3 was phenomenal. GTA 4 was phenomenal. Vice City is one of my favorite games of all time. GTA 5 was amazing. Some of the spinoffs have been great. So yeah, I get what you're saying. When that game hits, it's going to probably be the game to beat because the story is so damn good and they execute all the elements. And the soundtrack, I mean, if you ever played a Grand Theft Auto game and you're driving around and you're flipping through the radio stations, it's one of the funnest parts of the game. You know, that, of course, sleeping with hookers to regain health, you know, that goes without saying, but, you know, you got the other stuff too.
You brought up like the most iconic part of the game, and I think it's funny because I've heard people that are
the most iconic part of the game?
No, the music. And I've heard people that are a little bit older than me that have kids that are well younger than me actually like cling on to old school bands and music because of the things that are in the game. They're like, holy shit. And then their parents are like, yeah, that's this. Listen to all the rest of this. And, you know, that's a huge plus. But it's a great way to drive a game. Madden has done it for years, NBA, 2K. But all the songs I think of that I heard that I wouldn't have heard playing Madden and, you know, editing rosters and doing free agency stuff. And the soundtrack they put behind these video games is oh so important. And Grand Theft Auto might have the greatest soundtrack of any video game all time.
Yeah, they do. And they are so true to the era in which the story is set. That's what makes it fantastic. Like, if you're playing Vice City, you are not going to get music on any of the radio stations that are outside of the era in which the time frame that it's set. You're not going to get music from the 90s. It's going to be all 80s stuff because that's when Vice City is taking place. They do a remarkable job with that. The commentary, the gameplay is always so smooth. And these game worlds are immense. They are massive. I mean, you know, next to, and I don't know if you play like Elder Scrolls, but they just remastered Oblivion. And if you're an Elder Scrolls fan, highly recommend go and play that game because it is unreal what they've done with that.
Randy Orton does.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And I think like some modder figured out a way to like break the code on Oblivion and end up in like the parts of like Morrowind and Skyrim that are somehow embedded in this game. It's some crazy stuff, but yeah, I'm okay at this point. It's like, really, what am I losing by this game not coming out this year? If you're going to tell me it's going to be even better, as hard as that is to really comprehend, sure, let's go. It's May the 4th, honey. May the 4th be with you. It is Star Wars Day for those of us who celebrate. There's been Star Wars stuff going on all day. Our good friend, the one and only PC Tunney, went and picked up some Lego Star Wars stuff. He's showing it right now. Why don't you tell the people about what did you get and your interaction with Lego's official X account today?
So let's talk about this. Patrick O'Dowd was the first one to let me know that these were coming out. Shared an article with me in RDM and then DP. I shared it with DP, and DP was like, I know.
I'm waiting to sell it, DP.
It's like, I already know. But it is two more Lego helmets in the collection, which I have all but three of the Lego helmets all time. But it's Kylo Ren and Jango Fett. And the funny thing is I love to go to Target because usually Target has a Starbucks. And I like a good little Starbucks drink and walk around. And I can kind of get odds and ends for the house. Maybe I can pick up like a hoodie, you know, some socks, or I can go into the electronic department and I can also look at the toys. And nobody, except for wait till the end of the story, has Legos like Target. So I go in, and I had been in Target the weekend before, and I was like, oh, I wonder, you know, it's May the 4th, this stuff's supposed to be out. And they had Jango Fett at Target. And I was like, oh, score. So I went on my phone and I'm like, Kylo Ren at Target, nothing would come up. Lego.com. And then finally, like, Walmart came up with having it. And I'm like, oh, so there's a Walmart literally right down the road about 10 minutes. So I get out of there and I'm walking to my car and I'm trying to call this Walmart. And I get it, but there's no direct line to like the toy department or anything. So I'm like, fuck it, whatever. I'm not doing anything. Let's go. And I'm drinking my Starbucks. And yeah, I get into Walmart and they have it. They have Kylo Ren. I'm only disappointed in the Kylo Ren that it doesn't have the red cracking in it. And Dave and I talked about this, that I may get DP to go ahead and 3D print some versions of the pieces that fit in the right parts that have streaking in them, which would be really cool. But yeah, I got Jango Fett and Kylo Ren Lego helmets released Star Wars Day, and Lego, the official Lego X account, liked my post, and a bunch of people have been interacting, and it's just been a really great Star Wars Day.
That is tremendous. A great story. What I want to say about Star Wars, because we talk about Star Wars all the time, and Tunney, as he will tell you, it's all Star Wars, right, Tunney? It's all Star Wars all the time. I want to implore everybody listening, and this ties into what you're watching, so it's going to be kind of like a two for one for me. If you're not watching Andor for whatever reason, Tunney, have you watched Andor yet?
It's something that's out there for me.
I urge you, and I know this is a series that, like, my niece and nephew, they don't like it, and I really dug deep into why they don't like it, and the fact is they don't like it because it's the story of the Rebellion, and they prefer the Sith. Because they're assholes. I mean, no, because they just like the darker side of things. Now, I mean, there is that divide. When people like play games like Star Wars, The Old Republic, a lot of them gravitate towards the Sith because the Sith are more fun, you know, that sort of thing. But I think what I love about Andor, the first season was tremendous. It is a different sort of Star Wars. Yes, there's not as much action in Andor as in Mandalorian, for sure, or Ahsoka. Or Obi-Wan. Acolyte, we're just going to forget about that, whatever. But Andor is, the thing I love about Andor that I'm discovering, and I know Pat is like, you got to watch the last, because I'm like one episode from being all caught up. I've watched the first five of season two. I think what I love most about the show is that from the standpoint of the Rebellion, and the fact that what went into the Rebellion, and you always knew, even from watching the very first movie, episode four, the New Hope, from the one in 77, you realize watching that movie, just the odds that the rebellion faced to succeed, right? And it gets dimmer in Empire Strikes Back, and the odds look insurmountable in Return of the Jedi until Vader turns and everything turns around. When you watch Andor and you watch the story of how the rebellion came into being, you get a distinct understanding of just how magnified and how insurmountable those odds really were to begin with. Because you get to see everything that's going on with the rebellion, to get a foothold, to get the funding to do this sort of stuff, the political intrigue, the counter-espionage that both sides are using against each other to infiltrate each other. Even though the Empire has its own hubris and its own arrogance, there's still a level of them that realizes, hey, if we keep our heads in the sand, we're going to get bitten in the ass. And you get to see this in Andor. They do that really well, getting to the point. And the way that they've structured season two, dropping episodes in batches of three. And for those of you who know Star Wars lingo, BBY means before the Battle of Yavin. So the first three episodes came out at BBY 4. The second one was BBY 3. I am imagining this next one will be BBY 2, 2 years before the Battle of Yavin. The last series of three will probably be like BBY 1, BB 1.5, and then you're right there. And Diego Luna has come out and said that he's urging everybody to go back and watch Rogue One after Andor is done. He says, you will see a completely different movie, which when you think about that, it sounds ludicrous to suggest. Like, well, I know everything about Rogue One, but he's like, when you go through Andor and you realize when you watch Rogue One, you realize that in this whole Andor series, the only people who survive is Cassian to go into Rogue One and Mon Mothma, of course, because she's in 4, 5, and 6. But you're looking at all these people who are in this series, and it's very similar to what we've talked about with Ahsoka, right? Where are all of the Mandalorians, right? Where did they all go? And with Andor, you're like, where are all these people who are in this show who you really come, and you know that, you know, his love interest, whose name is Bix, she's not going to make it. And that's going to be the motivating force that compels Cassian, because there's places where he's still kind of timid about things. Something changes him to the point where it's all or nothing by the time you get to Rogue One. So I urge everybody to watch Andor. It is truly an excellent show. Tony, do yourself a favor, watch it. It is not very action-packed, but from the standpoint of storytelling and the cerebral aspect of anything related to Star Wars, it's this and everything else a distant second.
It's tough for me, Dave, because my Star Wars fanship is solely based on Jedi lore. And that's not here. And that's fine. And I get there's people that are tired of the Jedi lore and everything else. So it's there for me. It's there for me, like Breaking Bad and a couple other things. So
fine.
I'm sorry.
I tried my best. I tried my best. I really did.
I still love you.
I know. I still love you too. But yeah, it is Patrick and I absolutely love the show. And we message each other frequently about what's going on with it.
I have one buddy at work, and we work pretty close together on like a certain aspect of where we work. And he is just as big a nerd as we are. And like, if I could, I'd be almost like, I would green light him to come on this show. That's how good of a nerd he is. And he always asks me, are you watching Andor? Because we always bring up everything we're watching. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And he's like, whatever, you're such a, you know everything about Star Wars, but you don't watch Andor, what the fuck, you know? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't, I constantly remind him, like, 6 hours of my life every week is taken up by wrestling.
It is, and I will say, it is not for everybody, because for people like you, and I'm not saying this derogatorily towards you,
no,
but for people like you who are more into the Jedi, the mystic, the lightsabers, the action, and that is my niece and nephew, this is not the show for you, because while the storytelling is beyond anything else that has been done, what's that?
This is not the show for you.
Not the droids you're looking for, but it's really good. But anything you want to talk about on Star Wars Day, I just took up some time singing the praises of Andor. I still, you know, you look at a show like Andor, and we've obviously got our major issues with what's been going on with Star Wars for a while now. This is not one of them.
I can't wait. I'll end the Star Wars on May 4th here as we record conversation. I can't wait for Mandalorian and Grogu. I can't. It's going to be amazing. And like, it's been amazing. So you know, I feel like if I can get a payoff like I did with Deadwood here with a movie from that series of The Mandalorian, that would be epic. Do you want me to continue into what you're watching, or did you want to round out the Star Wars talk first?
Just a little bit more, because it is Star Wars
Day. Go ahead.
Ahsoka Season 2 is going to be really good.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be epic.
It is.
Go ahead.
You know, I was always a big fan of the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. I know, like, my nephew and my niece, you know, he's engaged to my niece, so they absolutely diverge at this point, because he hated Obi-Wan Kenobi. She loved it. And that's Jedi lore. I assume you watched that series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, we covered it here.
Sort of. Yeah.
Well, you and I did. You and I covered some things that we don't necessarily cover here reluctantly. We're Dave, Star Wars wise, we're rebels. Anyway, I'm gonna let you decide, because I made a conscious decision this morning that I have to watch some Star Wars, but I didn't have really time. I wanted to accomplish some stuff: laundry, breakfast, driving range, four corners. We did it all, baby. We did, Adrian. We did it. But Dave, I'm gonna let you pick the Star Wars movie I'm gonna watch after we're done here, because I'm gonna watch. I have to watch Star Wars today. I haven't. I want to watch a movie. You can pick any of the nine, or you can pick any of the movies that have come out in and between. One movie. I'm going to watch one movie right when we're done. About 20 minutes after we're done, yeah, I'm going to watch it.
I want to suggest Rogue One, but I don't, because I think you know, it's a movie you've seen before.
Well, you know what?
Without seeing Andor.
I've seen them all. Just give me one.
I know you came into the series with the prequel trilogy. So watch the best of them, Revenge of the Sith.
Okay. You want me to watch number three?
Yep.
All right. I will do that. Thanks for not telling me to watch number two or eight.
Or eight. Oh, yeah, that's true. We don't want to watch eight, or really nine for that matter. Seven's fine.
I like nine.
I mean, the more I've gone on, I'm not going to agree with Pat that it's better that Last Jedi is better than nine, because I don't think so, even though the story is dumb as fuck all the way around. But I'm never going to like what they did with Luke in The Last Jedi. That'll always rub me the wrong way. But yeah, Revenge of the Sith is by far and away the best of the prequel trilogy. And it's, you know, on May the 4th, let's show Hayden Christensen some love, some appreciation in the best of the three movies that he did by far. Yeah, Tony, now tell me what you've been watching, buddy. What's going on?
Well, I watched Batman Returns last night.
Danny DeVito is the Penguin and Michelle Pfeiffer?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. So I was lucky enough to be taken to Batman with Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson by my grandparents. And then we also went to this one as well. So I was just like tooling around, and it came up, and the streaming, I can't remember what streaming it's on, but it came up whichever one I was on. I have them all. And I'm like, let's do it. And the storytelling of how Danny DeVito is the Penguin is like the best part of this whole movie. That and Michelle Pfeiffer knowing in my head that she hits the whip scene in the first take. You see, there's only one take. That was it. It is epic. The cast, though, you guys, it's insane. Christopher Walken is in this movie as well. Yes. Max Schreck is like the key fucking villain. Paul Rubens is the Penguin's father, by the way, Pee Wee Herman. So catch that next time you watch it. But yeah, I went back and watched that one. Just a lot of the movies I seen in the late 80s and early 90s in the theater as a child, my parents and grandparents just hold a lot of nostalgia with me. And to go watch back that last night was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, from my standpoint, I mentioned Andor. This is for you, Ray, The Last of Us. And I wish Ray was here.
I do too.
This would be a therapy session, because Ray warned me about this. And for those of you who aren't watching the show, and Tony, I know you're not watching it. Good God, episode two. And I will give this show there, with all due respect to Andor, nobody is telling a story like The Last of Us. Not even close. For this to be a video game adaptation is one thing. For them to not shy away from the stuff in the game that I thought I would have bet money. There's no way they're killing Joel as early as they did in the game. No way. They've already signed Pedro Pascal. It's not happening. I was wrong. In one of the most, I mean, people have compared this, Tony, you'll appreciate this. They have compared episode two to, they're saying this is the Red Wedding for the Last
Red
of
Wedding.
Us.
Yeah, I thought
don't
that's what
know
you
if I'd go that far because it's, I mean, from a trauma standpoint, yes. There's an episode of The Walking.
From, I'd say from a character standpoint,
yes.
100%. Absolutely. Considering, like, bigger, I mean, bigger. Like, yeah.
Bigger.
Like, the eldest son, Stark, dying, that's, I don't think that compares to Pedro dying here.
No, it doesn't. I mean, Pedro Pascal, Joel, is the main character, and you kill him off in the second episode of the second season, in just a heart-wrenching moment. But I, like I said, they have not shied away from the game. They've stayed very true to a lot of what the games have done. And I've deliberately, because I've never finished Last of Us Part Two, the game, so I know that there's a big showdown between Abby and Ellie at the end, and I don't want to know what happens. I want to just get there on my own. But, man, that show is... I did not think they could exceed what they did in Season 1. And so far, I'm just blown away with what they have accomplished. There is no other video game adaptation that comes remotely close. Fallout's good. It's not this. And honestly, nothing on TV is coming anywhere close to this show right now. And I know, Tony, I know why you don't get into it, and I wish you would, but man, it's, there's some episodes of Walking Dead where they killed off major characters that had elements like this, but nothing on this level. It was tremendous. And that's really what's been occupying my time. I did mention we started Three Body Problem. I know DJ had said he had watched that previously and he liked it. So I'm checking that out. And, that's kind of it for now, buddy. Got anything else?
No, I'm just watching Scotty Scheffler dominate here on the TV. And, you know, we'll be back next week with more nerdiness.
More nerdiness, indeed. No more movies coming out. We got to get to July, man. Superman, Fantastic Four. We got to get to July. Let's get to July.
I think we need to find a hidden series or like movie that none of us have watched that we can do like to review for the next couple weeks or something. I don't know. I'll do a deep dive this week.
Three Body Problem wouldn't be bad. I think that's a weird enough show that it might be interesting. But beyond that, I don't know. We'll see what our fearless leader comes up with. He's always scheming. You know, he's always got something that he's doing. So Patrick O'Dowd has always got a backup plan.
Number one villain.
It's not just a catchy slogan. You know, it's like in Wayne's World, you know, where they're like, we got this band and the shitty Beatles. Are they any good? No, they suck. So it's not just a catchy slogan. That sort of thing.
I mean, Hella pays her dues to Patrick O'Dowd. That's all I can say.
She does. She does. I mean, yeah, Hella's got nothing. That's right. Patrick is the banker, and Hella just cashes in her chips.
he's like in charge of the Iron Islands, Dave.
That's right. Oh, speaking of which, we got some episodes. Game Gone Wrong will be coming back pretty soon. We got an episode of the Big Five Project coming out on Attitude of Aggression. More unidentified history, because good God, there's not a week that goes by without a new story breaking. It's crazy. It's just like, what the shit is going on?
Yeah. Hey, what happened over there?
Yeah. What happened?
I don't know.
Who said
it's unidentified?
They said what?
Now it's history.
How many different aliens are on this planet? All right. Tony, before we cut out of here, let people know where they can check you out on all the Chairshot Radio Network streams and your social media.
Well, first, I want to let everybody know they can find this show at Bandwagon Nerds. Yeah,
now you can say that. That's right. You can say, you tune in tomorrow.
tune in tomorrow where I remind you of that and forget we're talking about Four Corners. And we had a hell of a time talking NHL and NBA playoffs.
We did.
Which are really heating up. So tune in tomorrow. Follow me at PC Tunney. Chairshot Radio Network. Streaming platforms, like podcast-wise. Just put it in there and you get everything. Also, thechairshot.com also has all those great podcasts and the best wrestling coverage in the business. That's thechairshot.com. Follow me at PC Tunney. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there is so much content on the Chairshot Radio Network. Sports entertainment, things we don't even know how to classify anymore, but hey, it's all good. You can follow me on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. Like I said, the Big Five Project, where we trudge through King of the Ring 95 like nobody's business. Whew. That was rough, Tony. It was. I don't know if DJ's recovered from that yet. It was so rough.
I feel like I came out the other side stronger.
That's right. I know. It's like you walk through fire and it's like, I feel better now. Also, we got Game Gone Wrong. Like Tony and I are saying, we're recovering season 8 of Game of Thrones. We're going to be coming back with that. And yeah, the first episode of Unidentified History dropped this past week, which I listened back to. I thought it was really well done. We'll be doing more stuff on that in the coming weeks. You can also check me out at facebook.com/attitudeofaggression and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads. And as Tony mentioned, I will reiterate, follow this show at Bandwagon
Four
Nerds.
Corners podcast.
Yeah, we need a separate.
No, that doesn't. Never mind. That one doesn't have a
that
thing.
That one doesn't have a separate account yet. So, but yeah, all the great stuff. Knock yourself out. That's going to do it for this edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Until next time, kids, get out of the basement, get some sun, celebrate Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. We will catch you next week. So long, everyone.
Hey, Tiny, who's playing tonight?
Jolly Green Giants, Shitty Beatles.
The Shitty Beatles, are they any good?
They suck.
Then it's not just a clever name.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Illinois.
Now at Verizon, we're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's our best price ever on unlimited welcome with AutoPay plus taxes and fees guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, we got you. Visit your local Chicago Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits apply over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.